It's so powerful that nothing else can stand. And so the question really kind of comes along, how do we come against the darkness in our own life and in others? What does this look like? And we've been on a series coming out of Matthew as Jesus steps on the scene for the very first time and begins to communicate what the kingdom of God looks like. And for all of those who are listening and those of us who are here today, we all have a frame of reference of what the kingdom or the lack of a better term, the presidency, the United States, what does this look like to have a rule? And Jesus is coming at it completely different than the way we have grown up or the way we think or the way we feel. Because the way God wants to operate is sometimes opposite of our own inkling, our own nature. And so Paul writes this, pens this verse that I believe indicates what this "he makes the darkness tremble" looks like. And this is what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. And so he makes an indication here that it's not just the idea of goodness, but there is this goodness that has moved towards us, which allows us to actually shift what is going on in the atmosphere because we move with the very nature of God. He is good, period, exclamation point, and whatever else comes after that should be blown up. And how do I know this? Because right when Jesus began to move, and Matthew writes this down to show that Jesus is moving in the goodness of God. So look at Matthew 4, 23. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria. Yeah, because if he was healing, everyone's like, hello, I'm bringing everybody I know. When anything is good, people want to know about it. That's really the premise of Yelp. When something's good, you want to know. That's why I have my sister, because she's always finding out when something is good in the neighborhood. She's like, you got to try this restaurant. It's so good. Man, they got dumplings that will melt your face off. And I'm like, well, that's what I'm all about. My face is always getting melted off. So 24, news about him spread all as from Syria, and soon people began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. And what I love about that is that, yeah, my dad up here in the front row is like, that's 5 stars. That's like the best rating on Yelp. Yes. But what I love about this verse, and don't get hung up on, well, it has to be healing. I think the premise is that whatever was brought to him, he moved towards it with good. And so he makes this declaration that the kingdom of God is goodness. It's about him sending his son, and his son is moving towards us with this incredible life. So whatever it is that you need to bring to him, have an expectation that he's going to move towards you with goodness. That is his description of the kingdom, which we start off as he begins in the Beatitudes, which really is a Latin word for blessed or happy. And that's how he declares it. He says, blessed, or blessed are those, or blessed are those by God. And so here we go in Matthew chapter 5, and it says, he starts off, God blesses those who are merciful, right? So that's what we're going to get in today, but wait, pause there. We've got a couple other things that I want to wrap up as we step into. Jesus indicated two other things. He said the position of the kingdom, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, is to lean in, which is opposite of our very nature, right? We want to be reserved. We want to hold back. And by the way, you're a part of a church where we are desperate for Jesus. And so we're going to lift our hands. We are going to pogo stick. We're going to move out of our seats. We're going to smile from ear to ear, and we'll probably cry because we believe that he's real and that the more we lean on him, the more he has for us. So that's why we believe in worshiping our faces off. Because we have the concept that the more I lean into God, which is contrary to our nature because we believe that we've been disappointed, and so we tend to be more reserved. But what he says at the beginning of this passage is, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those that realize their need for God will experience more than they ever thought they could have. So the position of heaven is lean. Lean heavy. I always tell my children, I win. I need Jesus more than you do. Ha ha, dad wins. The second part of this is that we talked about last time, the attitude of the kingdom. The attitude of the kingdom is one of humility based on the value of others more than what we want. But that's why we have to understand that he said, blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. So when we realize we put what God is doing for others first, we can trust that he's working on our behalf while we even sleep. It's called God works the night shift. So while you're snoozing, sawing some logs, God's got his hands together working on your behalf. So you don't have to continue propagate your agenda. You can see what God is doing, and then you can begin to move in it. But it's not about telling people what to see. It's helping them see it. And sometimes that means we have to do it a little differently. As Jesus, who wanted to show us God's love, and what did he do? He was willing to die a criminal's death. He was willing to be wronged to show us God's love. You want to talk about an upside-down kingdom? That makes no sense. And then today I want to talk about the action of the kingdom. The action of the kingdom. So we read that verse. I kind of pulled the cat out of the bag or whatever that means. That's weird. I don't even know what that means. But go ahead and put Matthew up there. It says, verse 7, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus is taking a moment as he begins to reveal how the action of God's people is displayed. There's a verse in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10, and this is what it says: do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will reap. Ladies, don't be offended. That's just a neuter term in the Bible. It means mankind. Matthew 6, 14 through 15, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. The indication of that is the penalty, right? So we've been forgiven, but the idea is that we are held accountable to what we've done. So if we hold people accountable, if we make them pay, by that same measure that we make them pay, we will have to pay. Matthew 7, 1 through 2 says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use to judge is the standard by which you will be judged. Matthew 7, 11 through 12 says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the good things to those that ask? Verse 12, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. And last but not least, 2 Corinthians 9, 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity. So last week I shared this hilarious story about me driving down 620, turning left on 71. And while I was doing this, I cut someone off. The funniest part about that is one of our church members actually went down there and videotaped themselves going, "Let's see what Pastor Ryan was talking about." And they realized, yes, I was completely wrong. Thank you for sending that video to me and reminding me that I was wrong. No, it was hysterical, actually. Mark Coburn. But in that was about a year ago when that took place, and I made a determination after that moment that I've got to change something. Mercy is the idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness indicates something has been done wrong. And so if we demand justice, guess what? We will find that justice will be constantly coming back to us. And you wonder why that at your job, everyone's taking the measuring stick and looking at your performance. Because you go around and you decide that you're the king of everybody's performance. And you share with everyone your great ideas of how everyone should perform better. And then you wonder why your boss is always pulling out his measuring stick on your performance. Maybe reach into your bag and pull out the biggest cup you got, and you start just dishing out mercy everywhere you go, and you find that people just start opening up the road for you. This is the kingdom. The more you put in, the better it comes back to you. And you know what my favorite thing about 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10? Is that God's the one that provides the seed for the sower. You are not limited. He has already come after you with goodness. So he's not asking you to do it from an empty place or a broken place or a lacking place. He's already come after you with goodness. And so by the same measure it's been given to you, you get to measure. The second part of this, the action of the kingdom, is verse 9. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, and this is what he says, 9 and 10. Is that it? Nope. Yes. Maybe verse 8. Yes, verse 8. I was just kidding. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. I want to take you to a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, and this will help us kind of explain this next part. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 6 says this, "The purpose of my instruction," this is Paul writing to Timothy, who was a pastor of a church, and he says, "The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith." So when you take the context of that verse and you begin to kind of overshadow it onto what Jesus is saying about the kingdom, is that he wants love to flow out of us. Because out of a pure heart flows love. So if the kingdom is about love, then we have to be careful what our well is like. Because every time we come to somebody, they are going to drink what we put out. Because he says in that verse that you will see God, right? So love is the nature of God. So as we love people, they're going to experience what God looks like, and we're going to experience what it feels like to see God move. We see God. We see his nature. We see his beauty, because love is the most incredible thing in the universe. And so he indicates that Jesus is saying, in this kingdom, you've got to be careful what you put in, because what comes out of you is love. But when you allow negativity, judgment, when you allow bitterness, resentment, offense, it taints the water just a little bit. You see, my son, when he got sick, A couple of years ago, he was struggling with illness, and we didn't know what was wrong, and we couldn't figure it out, and it was throughout an entire year. And so I was like, just kind of, you know, you just start searching for things that you can do, because that's what we do as a dad. You know, we just want to fix it all. And so I was like, well, it's got to be the water. It's got to be Austin's water, you know. So I'm like, we got to get a filter. You know, we're going to filter the water out. And so we bought this awesome filter, and kids come over and people come over and they take a drink. They're like, man, your water tastes so good. Like, let's just say that's what Jesus has done. He's filtered our water pure. And I'm going to come to you, but I before I give you some water, I'm just going to take a little bit of bird poop. Just a little bit. You won't even know, but I'm just going to put a little bird poop in there and just kind of mix it all up, and then I'm just going to pour some out. But you see, that's what happens when we allow things to influence us. What we listen to, what we allow in our eyes, what we allow to come into our heart, it influences the way we love. It's why the enemy has so allowed, really, let's just be honest, porn to run rampant, because he knows that if he can distort love in the universe and we think that it's always about a sexual perversion, that no way will we understand true love. So we can't allow these things in, because what it begins to happen is it taints the water that comes out of us. I'll give you a point and example. So my wife is in California. My daughter's had this incredible opportunity, and that's what you do as parents. And so she's there. And before my wife went there, I mean, I since we moved to Austin, I discovered this thing called country music. And I'm like, man, I really like country music. And so every time I go out in the garage, because I love to tinker, I'm a tinkerer, and I have a couple of dirt bikes, and I like to go out there, and I just like to tinker on them. They're working, but I just like to tinker more on them. I mean, that's just what you do. It's you just keep tinkering. And so I'm out in the garage, and I'm tinkering, and I put on some country music, and I'm just like, yeah, this is awesome. And then I walk back in the house, and there's my wife, and everything's good. And I never thought about it. And then my wife goes to California, and I'm in the garage, I was in the car, and I was like, man, I could just use some country music. And so I put some country music on, and I'm driving. And while I'm driving, I'm like, where is my love? We haven't danced in so long. Her lips that are like wine have not kissed mine. And while I was driving, all these emotions started coming out, and I was like, what's going on? And I get on the phone, and I'm like, babe, where are you? We haven't danced. Our love hasn't come together, and we haven't gone for walks, and our dogs left us. And I was like, you know what? I can't listen to country music right now, because it's tainting my well. Paul says that you have to become conscious of what you can handle. Now listen, I don't go around going like, oh, that country music, it's bad. You shouldn't listen to that. And then I go over to someone's house and they're listening to country music, and I'm like, oh God, that's like devil music. That's what we do. No, it's for me to pay attention to my well, because what's coming out of me. Listen, some of you can listen to talk radio, but I'm telling you what, I can't, because I find myself just angry. And I just start thinking about people, and I'm just like, I'm angry towards them. I don't even know them, but I've already judged them. You got to be careful, because you know what? Love is the greatest thing that can move through you, and it can change the atmosphere. So you got to guard that as a believer. That I'm realizing that what's coming out of me is actually going to make a difference in the world. So I'm not trying to be pure for pure's sake. I'm just a pure believer. Oh, I don't allow that to defile my body. I would never allow that to touch my lips. And so we forget the whole point. The whole point is that I want to make sure that I'm ready, because the greatest thing that comes out of me is love and compassion, because that's what is the, by the measure that God wants to change the earth. So be careful what you put in it, because it comes out in weird ways. And you know what's interesting is, you know what the best way to make water better that's been tainted? I don't know if this is scientific, but just go with me, okay? My son and I have these camel packs. When we go dirt biking, we wear them, we fill them full of water, and they're hard to clean. Maybe you have one of those canisters that the head's like this big on it. You're like, who, why? Like, you can't get anything in there to clean it, right? So you pour soap in it. Have you guys seen that YouTube video where the people that are showering and the guy's like pouring soap on their heads and they just keep, you know, like, it just never ends, right? Like, they can't realize. Okay, anyways, that was a freebie. If you haven't seen it, it's hysterical. But you pour soap into this container and you can't seem to get the suds out, right? You just keep like, you know, pouring it out, putting a little water in, shaking it, pouring out. And so I found the best way to do it. As I just turn the faucet on full blast, after I've kind of shaken it a little bit and the suds are all in there, and I just put it right underneath the water and just let it sit for a while. And as it sits, I just watch until the moment the suds stop coming out, it's clean. You see, the idea of being pure is not that we, you know, are going around with a microscope or we're inspecting everything. It's the more I get Jesus. So for me, right now in this season, man, all I can listen to is worship music. I just can't handle country because I start looking for my love. But what's amazing is I find myself being full. And what comes out of me, rather than getting on the phone and going, you've left me and I can't make it, I'm like, babe, I love you. You're incredible. I'm so proud of you because I'm full. What comes out of us? And the best way to allow that to happen is just come into an environment like this. What the first aspect of the kingdom is, lean. He'll keep pouring into you, and eventually that which has been in there begins to move. And then you become sensitive to it, right? You identify the things that you I just can't watch those movies anymore. And Paul says, listen, if you know something that you shouldn't do and you keep doing it, that's sin. And it may not be a written sin. You know, thou shall not, you know, watch that movie. But for you, you're conscious of what comes out of you. And so I'm paying attention because I'm in the business of changing lives, and I want to be careful what comes out of me. And so if you're always shaking somebody's hand and pointing out the negative, then maybe you need to listen to something different. Maybe you need to start paying attention to what you're putting in you. If you're always measuring out judgment, I just want to let you know I'm stepping aside from you because it's going to come back. I'm not going to point it out when it does because I certainly don't want it on me. But it's coming. And so I have just determined that in my life I want to pour out something different than I get. And I want to be cognizant of what I allow in me so that what comes out of me from a pure heart comes love. I know. Thank you. It was great, too. I really enjoyed it. In closing, I believe that there's a couple of things that need to take place. One, there's probably some areas that as I was speaking, you kind of identify. And the beauty of this song is that there's some old, the Bible uses it as a reference of wine. There's some old wine in us, and he wants to pour in something new. It represents joy and life. And if you've struggled with alcohol in your past, it's not an indication of let's drink more. It's a symbol of the goodness of God, that He wants to bring something new. We're going to sing this song together, and I believe that the Holy Spirit just wants to fill you. Maybe your eyes have been constantly viewing stuff that you know that is tainting your water. Maybe it's time to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to pour into you. And then make some decisions. Get some people around you. Maybe hand your phone to somebody and tell them to turn on the parent, whatever it is, how they have to put in a code and it won't allow you to see anything, and then tell them, I don't want to know the number. Help yourself. Not because we're becoming legalistic, but because I know what's coming out of me. And I want it to be what God wants it to be for people. So if in your marriage all you see is the negative, maybe you need to get around some more positive. And start viewing what is right rather than what's always wrong. Because here's the thing, God's going to put you in front of great leaders. I just saw in the news the other day that someone that was the president of a massive corporation several years ago posted something online that was negative. And years later, just yesterday, they fired him for something they posted years and years and years ago. And we're like, how can that be? I'm just saying, let's be careful what comes out of us. Because someday you might be in front of those people. And what needs to come out of you is mercy and love. And sometimes it's hard for people to get over stuff that we've said. So I'm going to make sure I keep my well clean. And so would you stand with me today and let's worship Him and allow the words of this song to begin to fill us with the Holy Spirit as God begins to purify and move in us and that mercy begins to be shown out. I'm taking my biggest measuring cup and I'm going to begin pouring it out.